Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News, Northern BC has been locked into a level 5 drought for more than a month now, and if a major rain event doesn't happen between now and fall, farmers and ranches alike may be in a tight spot this season. Already, the drought has forced some ranchers to thin their herd. As of right now, others have no secure source of hay for the winter, as this has been one of the worst hay harvests in recent years throughout northern BC. The price of hay has also skyrocketed in the past couple of weeks, and there are calls on the federal and provincial governments to step in to help farmers and ranchers through one of the worst droughts they've seen in years. There's also several water restrictions and orders in place in many communities from Vanderhoof to Terrace. These restrictions mostly pertain to watering lawns and garden fountains, but also overuse of water for non-essential needs. And although this season's pink salmon run, as well as other salmon species, are doing fairly well, prolonged low water levels and drier conditions could spell trouble for many fish, especially steelhead, which are on track to record the worst Skeena steelhead return ever. Today, we'll chat with MP for Skeena Buckley Valley, Taylor Bacharach, about what he's been hearing from dairy and cattle ranchers in the area struggling to find hay for their stock. And we'll catch up with Joe Hug from Healthy Hugs Organic Farms about the dry conditions that he's experiencing on his farm. According to Joe, the worst he's ever seen. Stay with us.
My name is Joe Hug, and we are on my farm, Healthy Hugs Organic Farm. We've been going for 15 years now. Actually, this is the 16th year.
Joe, you were telling me earlier that you haven't seen it this dusty and dry before. Tell me more about that. What's been going on this season here and with a little bit of the drought that you've been seeing?
Well, I lived here my whole life, and I can honestly say I've never seen a hay crop this bad. Every year I plant a cover crop where I'm a garden, where I don't have any garden. And how I do that is I wait for a weather forecast that says rain warning in effect, where it's going to rain an inch or two. And then I plant my barley and field peas, and they form my cover crop. And then when my cover crop gets mature enough, not too mature so it goes to seed, you use a disc and you disc it into the soil, you feed the soil. And that's one of the big organic principles. So this year, there was no weather forecast anywhere close to that. There was like 2 millimeters here, 1 millimeter there maybe, and everything was just drying and drying. Luckily, I am near the river, and I have irrigation for the vegetable garden, but that's it. I don't have irrigation enough for the cover crop, and I don't have irrigation for the hay fields. So the hay fields were probably about between 1/6 and 1/8. Of what they usually are. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty devastating. I mean, for you with a cover crop, what does that mean for the soil? Like, I know we talked about in the past, you know, the cover crop replaces a lot of the nutrients in the soil. So what does this mean, you know, if you can't, and for other farmers, if you guys can't plant cover crops on the land that is going to be used for next year to grow vegetables?
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I do have the luxury of having quite a bit of land, so I can plant my cover crop every second year. And a lot of cover crops are planted every third or fourth year. So I think it should be okay. We'll see what happens. And because there was a lot of lightning, I don't know if a lot of people know, but lightning actually solidifies nitrogen, and it goes down in onto the ground. So we had a lot of lightning above this area, not a lot of rain with the lightning, but Yeah, so maybe we scored some nitrogen that way. We'll see.
The other thing, Joe, you know, down here it looks pretty dry. You know, we're in the field here, and it's pretty powdery. You were saying that you haven't seen it dry like this before. Can you remember at all, you know, of it being dry before? And you know, what are you predicting or seeing for the future? It sounds like we're going to continue to see these hot conditions.
Oh, I don't know. I think the weather is so unpredictable now. It's just anybody's call, really. I don't know. I've been looking at a lot of science, and science, it's kind of going, depends which path of the science you follow. I don't know. I wait and see, and I act accordingly into what's happening with the farm, with the weather.
But do you think, you know, there's impacts from climate change being seen here? Is there, you know, any sort of, you know, mitigation or adaptation things that you were thinking of trying to do to protect yourself from some of these events in the future?
Yeah, well, 3 years ago I read that climate change was going to make us wetter. And that means last year and the year before, they were all right. Just this year we just had no rain. So I don't know if this is part of the whole thing, or, yeah, to protect myself in the future, maybe I've got to invest in more irrigation. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what exactly. I just, I don't know. I don't see how we could have 2 years in a row like this, but who knows?
Joe, you know, a lot of these issues, you know, have been here in the past. They're going to be here again in the future, maybe a bit more intense in the future. But clearly, governments aren't really quick to react to this and adapt to some of these changing realities. What do you think, or what some ideas or solutions that you've heard of in other places, where we could maybe adapt some of our practices here?
Well, financially, which is also very important, I think Switzerland has implemented a plan many years ago to make it more food secure, because they were getting a lot of cheaper food from other countries after the wall came down. I think, you know, Bulgaria and Romania and wherever, they were able to produce food much cheaper. So they were bringing food in from those countries, and the farmers in Switzerland were like, okay, what just happened? We can't compete with these prices very easily. So the government allocates a certain fund to a specific farmer based on the size of their farm. It might be, I don't know, 10,000 or 20,000 francs. I don't know a lot about the details about the program. But what they do is they'll allocate it towards the farmer, and they'll use it for either farm improvements, for safety implements, or for labor. And what they don't use by the end of the year, it just gets taken off the table. And I think if we had something like that for our farmers here, I mean, don't get me wrong, farmers don't want handouts, but it would be something that would really level the playing field as far as cheaper food coming in from other countries, because it's very, very important for us to become more food self-sufficient in case food trucks just stop coming in. And that could happen for a number of reasons. And that's not even mentioning what's happening with our climate. I'm just checking the weather forecast right now. It says that at 7 p.m. it's going to start raining 80%, then 90%, 100% by, when is that? By 10 p.m., 100% rain. And they say there's going to be an accumulation of about 2 centimeters, which by this year's standards is a torrent. Yeah, so that's good news if it happens. Yeah, and it also means I better harvest a lot of lettuce mix today while it's dry, because if I harvest it when it's wet, it means I have to, it's a lot more work. So yeah, thinking ahead.
Yeah. Just the last thing for you, obviously it's been super hot, and we did see that heat dome as well that kind of affected this area last year. What's the toll on the plants? You know, do you have less harvest, or is this actually really good for some plants?
It's good for some plants. My corn's looking pretty good, you know, the squash, the zucchini. For the most part, there's a lot of places where they grow these same plants where it's a fair bit hotter. So the heat didn't really, I don't think it really damaged. Mind you, the spinach didn't like it being 30 degrees in mid-June. That wasn't good for the spinach. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, it's not really damaging at all.
In terms of the hay, you know, what does that mean for you? I know you got some land here that does get hayed. You know, if that's not really producing, you know, is that any effect to you or your neighbors who also are ranchers?
Well, the hay for me is a bit of a, you know, a bit of an extra financial boost, which I'm not getting this year. Well, or much less of it, I should say. So yeah, that's it's always all a concern.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. It's good to have you down here, Dan.
That was Joe Hug of Healthy Hugs Organic Farms. Although he wasn't available for the show today, I did speak with W Diamond Ranch's Manfred Witter, one of the undisputed meat men of the Bulkley Valley. Witter acknowledged the incredible strain some ranches are under right now due to the drought and terrible hay harvest, noting that some have already sold off portions of their herd, anticipating the limited supply of hay for winter feed. However, meat prices continue to remain high. Usually, Witter has about 1,400 hay bales to sustain his herd for the winter. Right now, he has just over 100. As well, hay prices have more than doubled this year to prices many are not willing to pay. Witter says banks and governments need to play a bigger role in helping ranchers and farmers weather the storm, as this is likely just the beginning of such prolonged and intensified droughts. Coming up next, I chat with MP Taylor Bacharach about what he's hearing from local farmers and ranchers and what he's calling on the federal government to do before it's too late.
This is Taylor Bacharach. I'm the Member of Parliament for Skeena Bulkley Valley, and I'm here at my home in Smithers.
Great, Taylor. Thanks so much, as usual. Of course, today our conversation is about the Level 5 drought that we're seeing here in northern BC. You've recently spoken with some ranchers and some dairy farmers as well about kind of the struggles that they're dealing with right now. Not a really great hay year. A lot of people questioning where they're going to find hay to feed their stock over the winter. And already we're seeing people selling off stock as well. So tell me a little bit about what your perspective is, who you've talked to, and also what you're calling on the federal government to do and to step in to try to help alleviate the situation.
For sure. So this is a very troubling season with this Class 5 drought that's particularly affecting northern BC from about Vanderhoof west. I've been talking to farmers who are getting as little as 10% of their normal hay harvest, and that means they can't feed their animals, and they're making some really tough financial decisions, including many of them deciding to sell off their herds. And of course, that, you know, that can have a bit of a downward spiral effect on the whole region's agricultural capacity and the viability of the industry as a whole. So people are very concerned. I've been working as a member of parliament to try to bring the federal government's attention to this issue and push for federal support so that folks who need hay, like really the problem is as simple as that, can get the hay that they need for their animals. Farmers are also faced with a number of pressures all at once. Of course, we've got the drought that we're talking about now, but also rising interest rates and the increased cost of all the farm inputs that they rely on. These are squeezing them from three different sides, and for many of them, it's just too much. So yeah, I think as a region, we need to speak with one voice and pull together and support these farmers that are a really critical part of what we do here in the Northwest.
Just a couple of things on that. One, you mentioned the banking and the interest rates, you know, going up, making it harder for, you know, farmers to borrow. I've talked to a couple who tried to borrow, you know, 50, 60 grand to purchase hay because the prices of hay have skyrocketed, doubled in just a couple of months. The banks wouldn't give them those loans just because, you know, farming is not that type of industry where you can be assured, I guess, as a banker, to see that money come back. But we're kind of in dire straits here. I mean, we've seen some of this before, but not to this degree, especially this early in the season. Where does the feds kind of come in, and what are you trying to advocate to again, bring some sort of resolution to that or make it easier for farmers to access these type of low interest loans?
So the federal government does have a program called Agro Recovery, and it's, you know, designed to help farmers in these kinds of situations. Unfortunately, these programs are quite bureaucratic. They're difficult to navigate. And they can have other implications in terms of taxes and that kind of thing for farmers. So working with the regional district and Mark Parker, the chair of the regional district, he has a farm himself. He understands these issues really intimately. And, you know, what he's saying is that not only do we need these programs to be rolled out quickly for farmers in this region, we need government staff support to help farmers navigate these programs and make sure that, you know, they're making decisions that are really sound in the long-term interest of their farms. So that's what we're pushing for. I think when it comes to the hay situation, it's a tricky one because the price of hay, and this is based on my conversations with local dairy farms, the price of hay has gone from maybe $150 or $200 a ton to $450 or $500 a ton, if you can find it. And there are parts of the U.S., the western states, and some provinces that have pretty decent hay harvests. It's a matter of getting that hay at a reasonable price and then figuring out the transportation. Mm-hmm. So I know that the provincial government is working on that right now. I think time is really of the essence because every week more farmers are making the tough decision to sell off their animals. And we want to retain as much of the agricultural capacity and as much of the food security that represents as possible. That's the challenge we're up against right now.
Yeah. Just last thing, you know, we talked about this before. We're seeing, you know, really hot temperatures this year, a lot of records being broken. We saw something similar in 2016, but since then we've had cooler conditions, better growing conditions for hay and whatnot. But as we go forward, this is going to continue. And it doesn't seem like there's much of a plan going forward to, you know, attack some of these issues, wildfires, never mind, but these types of droughts and making sure that we have cattle, we have meat, we have dairy, and also we have vegetable farmers. So what are you looking at going forward to bring this forward to the government and also bring it up in Parliament once you guys get back there?
Yeah, I think two things. First of all, we need to talk about this in the context of the climate crisis, and climate impacts are hitting us sooner and in a bigger way than I think many people were expecting. In this region alone this summer, of course, we've been dealing with an extreme fire season. We are looking at steelhead returns that are much lower than normal, and we're looking at the drought crisis and the impact on farmers. So looking at it in that context, the two things we need to think about, one is adapting agricultural practices to better withstand extreme weather and drought situations like we've seen this summer. And there are people who are really leading in that space here in the Northwest. I think it's going to be about knowledge transfer and really adapting best practices to suit a new set of conditions. And then the second thing is that often there's geographic variability. So one part of the country is facing extreme conditions at a time when another part isn't. And the role of the federal government, we're one country, Canada. And the federal government has the ability to help regions that in a given year are seeing extreme events. And so it's really about pulling together as a country, supporting each other as neighbors. We're very good at doing that at a local scale, thinking about our neighbors in our community, in the community next door, even as a region in northern BC. But we really need to think together as a country because it's the federal government that has the ability to respond in a really concerted way with the magnitude and the seriousness that the situation deserves. So that's the message I'll be bringing when we go back. And I think as we go forward, we're going to be seeing more and more of these kinds of things. If it isn't drought, it's going to be something else. We've seen extreme flooding in parts of the country. We've seen the heat dome and the impact that had, the atmospheric rivers. This is something that is going to become more and more a part of our lives. Humans are very adaptable, and we have the ability to respond to immediate crisis in a very concerted way. We also need to think about mitigation, right? Because there are only so many extremes that we can adapt to, and so ensuring that we're tackling climate change and its causes is another part, important part of the conversation. But right now, we're faced with this immediate situation, which is making sure farmers get the hay that they need. And that's my focus as MP right now.
All right. Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the chat.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.